Over the past several weeks, we've been talking about just the different forms of prayer and just how even how those different types of prayers, those different types, those forms of prayers can be combined into one prayer many times. Again, just trying to have a deeper relationship with the Lord through prayer, because he gave us obviously that special gift of being able to come boldly before his throne to get grace in the time of need, to get his help, to lay our burdens upon him, cast our cares upon him. And the more time we spend in prayer, I think the deeper our relationship with him becomes, the sweeter it becomes, the more we learn to rely upon him, the more that we desire that time, that special time in prayer with the Lord. Sometimes it's not even to ask for anything. We'll find ourselves just wanting to spend time in the presence of the Lord, because the Bible teaches us in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And the more we get to know our Lord and Savior, again, the better our relationship is. So today, I believe being the last day that we will talk about prayer, I want to talk to us about approaching God through daily praise and worship. Every day, we need to approach God with praise and worship, because he is worthy, like Revelation 4:11 said, that we just sang a few moments ago. But in Psalm 100, looking at reading all five verses, but the focus will be verse number 4. But Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So looking at verse number 4, we're told to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. It speaks of praising God and worshiping God. Yes, we do have the privilege of taking our cares and burdens to the Lord and casting them upon him, as he does tell us in Scripture, that we can cast our burdens upon him. But we need to honestly spend more time, I believe, in praising God and worshiping him for who he is. And we're gonna go through some verses just looking at who God is based on his different names in the Bible. The Lord has many names, and those names that God is called by, they tell us of his great attributes. They tell us of his holiness and his faithfulness to his people. But God reminds us in this verse, in verse number 4, he reminds us to always come before him with a sense of awe, with a sense of praise and reverence. Again, we are coming before a holy God, but we are coming before the one who has given us the power to become the sons of God, to become the children of God, and he gives us that wonderful privilege to come before him. Now, go forward a couple of chapters to Psalm 103. Keep in mind, though, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. In Psalm 103, look at verse number 2. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, the Lord has a lot of benefits for us. And somebody might ask, well, what are those benefits? Because everybody loves to have benefits, whether it's retirement benefits, whether it's a pension plan benefit, whether it's the benefit of being able to take vacation, the benefit of having bills paid for, the benefit of not having to worry about anything. Everybody loves benefits, and God says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The following verses list what those benefits are. Look at verse number 3. "Who," speaking of the Lord, "forgiveth all thine iniquities." Benefit number one we get from God is the fact that our sins are forgiven. And there's not a single sin that God will not forgive us of when we ask for that forgiveness, because we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So benefit number one, our sins are forgiven. Who healeth all thy diseases. God is a healer, and God can heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. All right? God can heal us with whatever may be harming us, whatever may be trying to destroy us, whatever it is that is harmful in our life. The Lord can heal us because he's given us of his Son, Jesus Christ. Number four, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Obviously, he has redeemed our life through Jesus Christ, and we have that gift of eternal life. We're not on the road to destruction anymore. We're on the path to everlasting life with the Lord. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? It is a wonderful thing to have our life crowned with the loving kindness of an almighty God and the tender mercies of our Savior. So who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? God always satisfies us with exactly what we need. He always satisfies us with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There are times where we do need the Lord to renew our strength. We need him to renew just us physically, emotionally, spiritually. And the Lord can do that. So again, the Bible tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Again, a very important reason why we do need to come to the Lord in worship and in praise in our prayers is because God is deserving, because he's done so much for us, and he continues to meet our needs. He continues to bless us with his presence in our life. He continues to bless us by meeting our needs and even answering our petitions when we do come to him. But the number one thing we need to always remember when we do go to prayer is don't forget to worship. Don't forget to praise him for who he is. Now, we do need to thank him for what he's done, but that should never be the only time we praise God, is when he's answered our prayer or he's done something for us. Praising God should be an automatic thing that we do because he's given us life through Christ. He's given us an abundance of life through Jesus Christ, and he has given us eternal life. We know, I mean, again, if you knew, and I'm not advocating the lottery, but if you knew that you won the lottery, and the lottery was, you know, the biggest amount it ever been, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and you knew you had the winning ticket, you probably would be excited. You would be going to, you know, the store to, or wherever to prove that, you know, I've got the winning. You would be holding it knowing that, you know what, this changes my life financially. I can do so much with this. And a lot of people are excited about that. And a lot of people will get that. And unfortunately, a lot of people waste it because they don't know how to handle that much money. But what I want you to understand is a lot of people get excited when they know, hey, I've got the winning ticket. But we have something far greater than a lottery ticket that can change our life financially, because a lottery ticket can only do so much, but a relationship with Christ does so much more. You have something and I have something that, you know what, I haven't received yet, but I know it's coming, and that is a home in heaven. Haven't seen my place yet. You know, I can only imagine, you know, what it may be, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And, you know, the Bible doesn't, you know, tell us what our space is going to be. All right. Now, we have in Revelation, we do have a description of what heaven is, what the holy city will look like. And we get a little glimpse, and they're just my imagination. I'm just asking the Lord, you know, let me have a cabin up on a mountain, you know, just where it's beautiful. And, you know, let my wife, who I know won't be my wife in heaven, but let, you know, let us be next to each other. Let us be friends. Let us, you know, continue on, you know, just enjoying eternity together. I mean, just different things, you know. You have an idea of what heaven may be like, and you're looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know of any Christians, anybody that has, you know, that knows they're going to heaven. I haven't met a single Christian who is sad about going to heaven. You know, I haven't asked, you know, seen someone that, you know, hey, are you going to heaven? Absolutely, I'm going to heaven, but you know what? I dread going to heaven. You know you're going to heaven. You're excited. There's something to look forward to. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I'm going to see what heaven is all about. I mean, it's going to take forever to see all of heaven. It's going to take forever to enjoy heaven. So, I mean, because we have something to look forward to, something that's been prepared for us that we know is good, we know that the carpenter who has built our place in heaven is a carpenter who does not do shoddy work. He's a carpenter that does perfect work and has made a perfect place for us, and we are excited about that. Again, you think about the benefits of the Lord. You think about our sins have been forgiven. You think about the fact that he is the healer that heals us. He is our redeemer who's redeemed our life from destruction. He crowns us with his loving kindness and his tender mercies, which are far greater than an earthly crown that, you know, some government or some group can put on my head, right? The loving kindness of God, the tender mercies of God, that's what I want to be crowned with. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, we all have been at the end of our rope at different times in our life. We've all been frustrated at different times. And when we have put our frustrations on the Lord and asked the Lord for his help and for his strength, we have felt ourselves being renewed by the strength of the Lord because he's given us of the Holy Spirit. Again, going to God in prayer should always be accompanied with or be the first thing we do is praising God for who he is because of not only his benefits, but because of who he is. And I want you to listen. Praising God for who he is. And this is who God is. This is just a small list. It's not all of who God is, but think about who God is. God is loving. There's no hatred in God. God is loving. We first loved him, or we love him because he first loved us. For God so loved the world. I mean, God is loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. And think about the fact that it's not just that God is these things, but he's these things towards you. He's loving towards you. He's kind towards you. He's compassionate towards you. He's merciful and patient with you. He's just in the things that he does in your life. God never does a wrong thing in our life. He's forgiving and gracious. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's faithful. He's sovereign. And he's Lord of lords and King of kings. We're praising God for who he is because he is all of these attributes. He is these characteristics. And I want to go through some verses this morning and look at the characteristics of God. Look at the different names of God. Because have you ever just, you know, yes, you go to prayer and sometimes maybe you're asking God for mercy in your life. It just seems like maybe there's something in your life you just can't handle. You can't seem to get around or over, and you just, Lord, please have mercy on me. Have you ever just sat and just meditated on the mercy of God? Because all throughout Scripture, when we read in the Bible, we read over and over the mercy of God. Because one place that we can go to see the mercy of God, and the fact that God is not some cruel dictator, is the book of Judges. When you go to the book of Judges and you read, God brought his people out of slavery. He redeemed them with a mighty hand. He bought them from slavery. But yet when you get to the book of Judges, God's people would constantly turn their back on God. They would constantly rebel against God. They constantly wouldn't trust God. And because God is a righteous judge, and because he wants the hearts of the people to be sincere towards him, he would allow them to be overtaken by their enemy when they would not trust him and turn their back on him. But it was never to destroy them. It was always to get them to a place where they would cry out to him because they realized, you know what, we were better off following God. Here, you know, we've been given over to the enemy. And over again in Judges, the Bible says that when the people would cry out to God, God would raise up a deliverer. He'd raise up some man to deliver them from the oppression of the enemy. That's a wonderful God, that he's always looking to show himself mighty in the lives of his people. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Again, there are times in our prayer life that we're praying to God for something specific. It may be that, Lord, could you please show yourself mighty in this situation? Lord, let me know that you are in control. I know God's in control, but God also knows that we're human, and sometimes, you know what? We need to be reminded that God is in control. You think about the life of Job. Life of Job, God showed himself that he was sovereign in Job's life, and he showed himself that he was mighty in Job's life. And at the end, when you get to I think it's Job 23, Job talks about going forward, going backward, left, right. He says, I can't see God. Because sometimes we want to see God moving in our life. And Job, during that trial, he's like, I'm looking all around. I just can't see what God is trying to do. All Job had was his faith. And in those verses, though, he says, you know, I don't see God no matter what direction I go. But he says, but I know that God sees me and God knows the way that I take. And when I come forth, I'll come forth as gold because God's moving in my life. God's working in my life. God will accomplish his will in my life. And you find at the end of Job's trial, he's praising God like he was at the beginning when he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Right? We don't always understand why God allows things to happen. But we do learn that God never does anything wrong because he's the Almighty God. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God introduces himself to Abraham at this moment in his life as the Almighty God. You know what that means, Almighty God? There's nothing he can't do. See, this was a time in Abraham's life, 99 years old, he doesn't have a son. This is before Isaac is born, he doesn't have a son. I mean, God is going to accomplish something that is beyond human comprehension. Sarah had been barren for years, no children. He wanted a son. He wanted someone to carry on the name. He wanted someone because the firstborn always got the inheritance. And he wanted God to do something. But he was content. Okay, I have this desire, but totally up to the Lord. And God ends up showing himself great and mighty in his life. Because God was going to do something in Abraham's life. But what I want us just to see is that God introduces himself as the Almighty God. There are times that when we're praying to God, and we are asking God for something, we're seeking God for help, that, you know what? We need to stop in our prayer and just meditate on the fact, you know what? I serve an Almighty God. I serve a God that there's nothing beyond his capability. The only thing that God cannot do is sin. It's the only thing God can't do. He can't sin. And he can't be tempted with sin. But there's nothing that God cannot accomplish in your life. There's nothing that God cannot do. God is the Almighty God, and there's times where we need to just praise him for being almighty. Praise him for always being there. And the fact that there's no problem I cannot bring to him that he doesn't have an answer for. He is the Almighty God. Look at James chapter 1. We're going to bounce back and forth between the Old and the New Testament. But when you go to James chapter 1 and look at verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In James, we're introduced to the Lord as the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. What is it that God cannot reveal to us? Again, God is sovereign. That means he knows everything. He sees everything. Jesus is known as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right. God sees the beginning. He sees the end and everything in between. We don't. I mean, how many of us would love to know the future? That would kind of help us make some good decisions at different times, right? And that would help us not to, you know, make a decision that we regret later if I knew beforehand how is this going to turn out. Okay, but we don't, but God does. He's the Father of lights. He can reveal things that we cannot see. And there have been times in my life where God has revealed something and it was confirmed later that it was true. And it was something that, you know, I wish wasn't true. Our church that we used to attend before going into the ministry, there was someone who started attending the church, and, you know, I'm not judgmental. Anyone that wants to come to church, you come to church. I'm not going to stop someone at the door and say, you need to go change, you know, you need to cover up the tattoos, you need to, you know, put on a suit. No, you're coming to church. You need to come in and hear from the Lord. But with this person, I just felt something was wrong. Couldn't tell on the outside, but just something was telling me something's not right. So I kept my eye on him. My wife can attest to this because she did as well. And we noticed, we viewed things. There was a fellowship one day, and just things were being done that were just not appropriate. Having children on his lap, swinging, that were not his kids. Like, that just doesn't sit well with me. So I went and talked to the pastor, and there was some other things that we had noticed and stuff. And I went to the pastor and told him my concerns and stuff, and later it was confirmed that he was a registered child. What do you want to call him? Say it again. Molester. I mean, just child predator. You know, I didn't know that. And again, I don't judge people, but when the Holy Spirit, is something not right, you kind of, you know, he's the Father of lights. Now, I was a deacon, so, you know, as a deacon of the church, you know, you kind of want to, you're watching for any type of anything that's not right, okay? So when you think about God is the Father of lights, he can reveal things to you that normally you won't. Now, again, that situation I didn't know until I went and talked to the pastor, and it was revealed, yes, he is. So, you know, later on things were dealt with and stuff. But the fact is, I want us to understand that when we don't understand, when it feels like something's not right, you can go to God and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm just not sure. Will you reveal to me what I need to know? In that situation, I needed to know so kids weren't harmed. It may not be that there's someone around that's going to harm kids. It just may be there's something in your life that, you know what, you just don't know the answer to it. And God does, and God waits for us to come to him and, Lord, I know that you know what's going on or what's going to happen. Lord, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me insight? Would you reveal to me what I need to know? It's a wonderful thing that we do have a God in heaven that can reveal things, that can protect us from harm. Another situation was there was a missionary that came to our church. This goes back to our home church before we went in the ministry. Again, being a deacon and all that, this missionary came and something just didn't sit well with me. Again, I asked my wife, I'm not a judgmental person. I mean, before I even go on to this story, there was an older gentleman that would come with his wife, and he wasn't saved. Sometimes he'd come because his wife would invite him, and he would just get up in the middle of the service, just mad at the pastor, doesn't agree with the pastor, and I'd be out there in the hall as one of the ushers, you know, letting people in and out, and he'd come out, and he's just cussing and all mad and stuff, and just trying to be nice, you know. You know, there's other people like, man, he doesn't need to be here. And it's like, no, he needs to be here. He needs to hear the truth, right? So I'm not bothered by people that want to get upset and stuff. But again, this missionary, something didn't sit well. He was very nice, very cordial. I even told my wife, there's just something. And I even told my wife, you know what? He seems like a womanizer. I guess time will tell, you know. If I'm wrong, you know, Lord forgive me, not trying to be judgmental. Just what I see, just in his interaction and stuff. He goes off, I think they went to Venezuela. And it wasn't long, just a few, not even a year. I'm not sure, but I'd say within the year, church got a letter. He left his wife, went off with a Venezuelan 20-year-old. And I said, I told you, I knew something wasn't right. I knew something was, now I wasn't gloating in the fact that I knew something wasn't right, but what I'm saying is God is the Father of lights who can reveal things to us. And there's times when we need that, Lord, if I'm wrong, show me. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but Lord, if you're trying to tell me something, reveal it, Lord, so I can do what needs to be done. So again, meditate on the fact that we do serve an almighty God who is the Father of lights who can reveal things. Again, God's not about us just, you know, going off and, okay, live your life, you know, how you think. God wants to help us. God wants to reveal things so we don't get hurt, okay? So that we don't get hurt. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel and chapter 22. Back to verse 1. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He goes on, my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. But I want you to say, it's an amazing thing that David kind of uses that word fortress. Fortress is used. What we know what a fortress is. A fortress is something that's it protects. Most fortresses, you can't penetrate it. You can't get into it. You know, the best that an enemy can do to a fortress is surround it and wait for the people to starve out. But a fortress is something that is it's relied upon. It's something that protects you. And think about God. God is a fortress. He's my fortress. He's nothing's getting past God. Nothing can get through God. Nothing can get through God. And as David writes this song to the Lord, again, he's praising God for what God's done in his life, the fact that God has saved him from all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Remember, King Saul wanted to kill him. He hunted him. As long as Saul was alive, he hunted the life of David. He wanted to get rid of David because David made Saul look bad. That was it. David didn't do anything against Saul. In fact, David ended up being his armor bearer one time, and David served him in the palace. But because David had more courage in God and more faith in God, and David was able to get the victory over Goliath, well, everybody, the women of the city were singing, you know, David slain his 10,000 and Saul but 1,000. Well, that didn't sit well with Saul being the king. He said, wait a minute. You know, I might not have killed Goliath, but, you know, I deserve more credit than that. And King Saul didn't like David. He was jealous over David. But here's David writing a song to the Lord for delivering him out of the hands of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And God was a fortress. When you go through the account of the moment that David comes onto the scene with Goliath, until David sits on the throne, and I should say until King Saul dies in the battle against the Philistines, you always will see God's hand of protection around David. Many times King Saul would come within inches. He would come so close to David. The first was in the cave of Adullam. David's hiding out in this cave, and wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, Saul happens to choose the one cave that David's hiding in to go in and to refresh himself, to get out of the sun, to take a rest. And yet in that very cave, God made sure that King Saul didn't hear anybody in that cave. David and all his men are hiding in the backside of the cave, and God doesn't let them be known. In fact, they're like, oh, David, God's delivered him in your hand. Go kill him. And David wouldn't kill him, but he snuck up to him and cut the hem of his garment. He cut a piece of his robe off. And then when Saul goes out of the cave, David comes out to the opening and calls out to him and holds up the piece of the garment. The fact that God protected David. There's another time where David is surrounded on a mountain. Him and his men are surrounded by King Saul and his army. But the Bible specifically says God put a division between Saul and his army and David and his army that Saul could not come any closer to David. God has a hedge of protection around us. He has a fortress. Nothing can penetrate God's protection. One of the great, you think about it, you go to the life of Job. You know what? Go to Job chapter 1. There's just times in our life, you know, and we're going to have to finish this next Sunday. But there's times in our life where we seriously do need to stop, take some time, and meditate on who God is. Because if we will meditate on who God is, it will help us to rely more on Him and to actually see, you know what? The hand of God truly is protecting me, guiding me, providing for me. In Job, you look at verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Notice what Satan says in verse 10. Hast not thou, and he's speaking to God, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? The devil is, Lord, you've made a hedge of protection around him. And then notice what he says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So God brings up Job to Job's adversary, to the devil, And the devil says, you've got a hedge of protection around him. Of course he's prospering. Of course he's being blessed because you're protecting him. God was a fortress unto the devil, and the devil knew it. He knew he couldn't do anything to Job. The only reason why the devil was able to do anything to Job and what he had was because God allowed him. I mean, you read on, you know the account. And God said, okay, you can do this. You can take away everything he has, but you can't touch him. And finally, when he does allow the devil to touch Job, he says, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. God still had a hedge of protection around that. God allowed him to get the boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, but the devil couldn't kill him, and that was the devil's desire. The devil desires to steal, kill, and destroy, but he can't do it to God's people. The best the devil can do to you and me is to cause us to think that the devil is winning and that God's just letting him do whatever he wants in our life. That's a lie from the devil. That's the best the devil can do, is get into our minds and cause us to think things that are not true. God is our fortress, and God protected Job from what the devil really wanted to do. The devil really wanted to kill Job. The devil really wanted Job to curse the name of God. But you know what? God still was a fortress unto Job, and he was a fortress unto David, and he is a fortress unto you and me. God protects us. God provides for us. He gives us the insight that we need where we cannot see. God's the Father of lights, and he's the Almighty God. We serve a wonderful God, but we have to continue to trust him, continue to believe in him, continue to follow him, and to continue to praise him and worship him for who he is. He is the Almighty God. You know what? The Almighty God who has given us a wonderful relationship with him. I mean, just to sit and think about that, the creator of the heavens and the universe, the one that keeps everything going, the one that you cannot figure out. Nobody will ever figure out God. God reveals some of himself to us, but God's a spirit. Even Jesus said he's a spirit. But the fact is that the very one who holds everything in the palm of his hand is the very one that has called us into fellowship with him, into a relationship with him, the very one that has said, ask, knock, seek, ask in my name. Call upon me, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Cast your burdens upon me. I mean, that very one that is all-powerful and all-knowing is the very one that wants to have that intimate relationship with each of us and wants each of us to have that heart that we want that same relationship with him. One more place, if you would. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Often God would reveal a special name to those that he was talking to, those that he would be doing something great and mighty in their life. Probably the greatest name that I like that is the Lord's name is Savior. He's my Savior. He saved me from a life of destruction. He saved me from an eternity of separation from him. He saved me from the sin penalty. But when you look at Exodus chapter 3 and look at verse 14, as he reveals himself to Moses, Moses on the backside of the desert, he was raised in Egypt for 40 years, but at 40 years old, he committed murder. He killed an Egyptian guard because he saw the Egyptian guard tormenting, being cruel to one of his brothers, one of the Hebrews. I mean, he knew he was a Hebrew. God had spared his life. He grew up in the household as a foster child to Pharaoh's daughter. But 40 years old, he flees for his life, assuming that everybody knows that he's committed this murder, and he's on the backside of the desert for another 40 years. 80 years old, God reveals himself to Moses through that burning bush. And Moses wants to know, well, when I go back and I speak to the people, who do I say sent me? They're going to ask, you know, well, who gave you authority, right? You know, who sent you? Who do you think you are? He says, who do I say? I love the fact God says in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Because you know what? That's who God is. I am. I am what? I'm your Savior. I'm your protector. I'm your deliverer. I am your redeemer. I am your fortress. I am your rock. I am your salvation. I am your high tower. I am. God never was. He always is. So you think about, what do I need? What is it that I need from God today? Well, whatever it is, he's that. Do I need an answer? He's my answer. Do I need help? He's my help. Do I need deliverance? Do I need victory in some area of my life? Well, he's my victor. He gives me the victory. So again, as we think about prayer, it needs to always, as we come to the Lord, because there's something heavy upon our heart, there's something we need, we know that we can come to God. We need to always come to God, though, with a heart of worship and praise, thanking him for who he is. Again, what, Lord, I need protection. So you come to God and you thank him. Lord, I thank you that you are my fortress. I thank you that nothing can happen to me without you allowing it. And if you allow it, it's for my good and your glory. Because everything that happens in our life, God uses for good. So I want us to just remind ourselves to continue praising God for who he is when you go to prayer. Remember, God is everything that you need. God is everything that you need. One last verse, I promise. Go back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Again, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know the fact, the Lord is truly everything we need. He's everything we need. And we have to remind ourselves that he is everything that I need. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you are everything that we need. Father, help us to continue to rely upon you, to continue to praise you and to worship you for who you are, and to thank you for what you do in our life and have done. Father, I ask that you would continue to help our relationships to become sweeter, more intimate with you. Father, we get to a place where we never question whether we can trust you or not. We never question what you are doing because we believe that you are in control and you're sovereign. And Father, you're doing great and mighty things in our life. And the greatest thing in our life that you want to do is to draw us closer to you. So help us, Lord, to draw nigh unto you as you lead us, as you draw us unto you. Help us, Lord, to respond to that drawing. Father, I ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts this morning, continue to guide us according to your will. May we walk away today being uplifted, being encouraged, and being drawn closer to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.